Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wine About History podcast. This is Patty, along with Max
Hamill. I'm Max Hamill, her co-host.
Well, you're the host. I'm just kind of co-hosting.
She's kind of co-hosting. I didn't know you could kind of co-host.
I'm here to just push some wine.
Yeah, she's here for the wine.
I'm here for the wine. So because it is wine about history, we have to talk about the bottle we're drinking tonight. What we got there, Max?
We're drinking Imagery Pinot Noir. It's from California, and this is the year is 2016. It's really good. I enjoy it a lot. It has a very good body. It has good berry, rich berry flavors. Awesome. And I'm going to get another bottle. In fact, I would like to get another bottle from Imagery Wines.
You're going to have to talk to your cousin about that.
Yeah.
She's marketing it. Max's cousin, she's a liquor distributor, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And they were having a promotion for that. And she was going to give me a case of it, but she forgot. So honestly, I don't know how much it costs. I imagine it's good value,
it's
but
worth
I don't
it.
Know. But yeah, it's really yummy. I'm really enjoying it. I haven't had Pinot in a while. And it's a nice change. It's a nice change of pace. So who are we talking about?
We are talking about the man who shaped modern horror.
Oh my gosh.
And was a massive influence on science fiction.
Okay.
And not to mention heavy metal. He's huge in the heavy metal community.
What?
And the film industry.
Okay.
Howard Phillips Lovecraft.
Okay, I have heard of Lovecraft.
I have heard of him,
but I did not know he was as far-reaching as he was. Yes. I knew he was an amazing writer, a great storyteller. And there's podcasts of just him.
Yes.
About just him.
There's a few. My favorite is the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast, which I'm a huge fan of, hosted by Chad Pfeiffer and Chris Lackey. If you want to learn more, go listen to it, and hopefully they'll give me some money. I'm kidding. So, he was born August 20th in 1890 on 454 Angel Street, Providence, Rhode Island. His mother was descended from a rich old New England family that had been there since 1630, which is about the time our family got there, 1640. His father was Winfield Scott Lovecraft, a traveling salesman. So you get it, rich, powerful mom from rich, powerful family marries a working man.
Ah.
So at the age of 3, Howard's father had a nervous breakdown. His family told Lovecraft that his father had apoplexy fits. It's a catch-all term for seizures, fits. Really, he contracted syphilis.
Uh-oh.
A type of neurosyphilis that he caught from being a traveling salesman. He died when Lovecraft was 8. And throughout his literature, apoplexy stalks the main character. And probably it's terrified Lovecraft too, mm-hmm. growing up. Like, my dad, what happens to your parents happens to you. Mm-hmm. Cursed lineages are a massive part of his family. Mm-hmm. Or his work. Mm-hmm. It comes up over and over again. Cursed lineage. So that's probably what's on his mind when your father dies of a disease. That 8. He was raised by his mother and 2 aunts and his grandfather, Whipple Van Buren Phillips, who was a prominent businessman. That's a name, isn't it? People had their mother's maiden name as their last name back then.
Or middle name, maybe?
The mother's last name was their middle name.
Yeah.
That's why his mother's last name is Phillips. So Howard Phillips Lovecraft. So His grandfather loved him dearly and encouraged him to read and write. Lovecraft was reciting poetry at 2 years old and reading poetry at 3. He was writing stories at 6 or 7, we're not sure. And Lovecraft suffered a lot of illnesses, so he couldn't go to school a lot. So he was kind of homeschooled, kind of self-taught. He was very, very intelligent. He produced several science journals for his friends. He loved astronomy. Not to be confused with astrology. And he was first published at the age of 16 in the Providence Sunday Journal.
Wow, that's quite an accomplishment.
Now, here's where his life kind of gets wacky. In 1904, he lost his grandfather, his only real male role model. Mm-hmm. And this is how Lovecraft would refer to himself as grandfather in his letters. Mm-hmm. Like, he wanted to be an old, wise mm-hmm. scholar, but he couldn't do it because. Now, the fortune, which was considerable, was mismanaged by his grandfather's heirs. His mother and his aunts didn't really know how to manage this big empire, and it fell apart. And they lost everything, including the Victorian mansion he was born in. Aww, it broke his heart. He even became suicidal. And he developed a toxic relationship with his mother because she lost her father and her husband, who contracted syphilis by cheating on her and maybe gave it to her. And she had this pathological love-hate relationship with him. Like, she would call him ugly. She would be rude and mean. You'll never meet anyone. You'll never meet anyone. You're too ugly. He's not ugly. He looks odd, but mm-hmm. you could see how someone could find him handsome.
Yeah.
So it was a really bad relationship.
Well, believe that. So when yeah. the parents tell him, it just sinks in.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's really tragic.
And here's where it gets weirder. She would dote on him. You're the best boy, son in the world. And then she would be mean to him and go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It was very, he was suffering. Yeah, it was bad. Lovecraft suffered from nervous breakdowns and fainting spells, mm-hmm. too. It was a real problem. For him, all this would prevent him from graduating high school, entering Brown University, and even joining the National Guard. He couldn't pass the physical because of his fainting spells. Because he wanted to join after Lusitania. He was, you know, an adult during, he was...
During World War
I. Yeah, it was during 20, he was 26, 27 when the war started. He really seemed plagued by self-hate and shame his whole life. It's really sad. His mother died in 1921, which devastated him. Now, shortly after that, he met Sonia Green and married her in March 1924. The couple had problems. Like, they got, it was one of those things where everyone looked up and boom, there were problems. Yeah. She had a hat. He didn't want to move to New York. He didn't like foreigners, even though he married a foreigner. We'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. And so there was kind of a complicated. She lost her hat store. She had to travel to work. He didn't want to work. He wanted to be a writer. And the problem is he was not making a lot of money as a writer. Mm-hmm. He was very good, but he just wasn't popular. Like a lot of writers, when you go through history, changed literature forever. No one bought their books.
Yeah.
Like Van Gogh. So they both could not find steady work. The couple were separated and then eventually divorced in 1929. Then he returned to Providence in 1926, 3 years before the divorce, and his work changed. He went from a good horror writer with a lot of weird dreamland stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, after his stories come back from New York, he's good story after good story after good story after good story after good story. It's boom, 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 boom. It's when he writes. He wrote Call of Cthulhu right after that. And Call of Cthulhu is considered to be one of his best works. I mean, everyone knows who Cthulhu is. He was just on the Simpsons episode we watched.
I don't know
who Cthulhu is. I just showed you. Oh, well, he's a.
But okay. I don't know. Like, it's not. I'm not big into sci-fi, though. So.
Well, he went from a good horror writer to the writer that changed horror and science fiction forever because he nurtured all these young generations, these new young writers. And they nurtured young writers. And then they nurtured young writers. Robert Bloch, who wrote Psycho, is one of them. Cool. So he was very underappreciated, and he died in 1937 from intestinal cancer, and he was interred in Swan Point Cemetery.
Oh, so he was young when he died.
He was like 47 when he died.
Aw, sad.
Yeah, he didn't take care of himself. He would brag to his friends, I can eat on a week on a can of beans and a loaf of bread and just coffee.
Because
he would drink the coffee to stave off starvation.
Aww.
It's really bad. He was living like during the Depression too.
Oh, gosh.
So but at the same time, a lot of these writers, these famous artists, have tragic lives.
Oh, totally.
Because they're so tortured, and you can't produce good art and not be tortured. So in their suffering, there's almost like a sacrificial quality to their art.
Yeah, definitely.
So there's a couple things we need to talk about. He was racist. He was raised to be. But it's about. He was born in 1890, mm-hmm. and it surprises people that he might have problems. But here's where it gets even weirder. So he was more of a xenophobe. He didn't hate people so much as, well, he hated everybody. He hated himself. But he's more a xenophobe. And it's not that he didn't like, you know, African people. He just wanted African people to stay in Africa. He hated Irish people, but he more or less just wanted them to stay in Ireland. But he hated Jews. He hated foreigners. But he married a foreign-born Jew, Sonia Green.
Okay.
He didn't like gay people, but some of his best friends were gay. The actions are speaking louder than the words.
Yeah.
So, and Sonia Green, she would confront him on this. And she's a very tough lady and said, okay, why do you hate the foreigner that lives next door, but you love me? And she said he almost seemed to lose his mind. So I think he was just conflicted because he was raised a certain way.
Yeah. Probably.
And was a very smart man. You read his work, he's very smart. He knew deep down that he was wrong, but he couldn't shake off that hate that he was raised to have.
Yeah. It sounds like his parents were too influential in mm-hmm. his life.
So another common misconception that he was homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
He was married. We know from his letters, Sonia Green's letters, that she was into him, that he was straight. There's no evidence that he was gay. People just like, a lot of his work have two main characters, mm-hmm. alone doing evil things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one's there to be the bad guy or the catalyst that causes all, and the other one's there to observe for the
audience.
So that's a good technique,
mm-hmm.
you know. And his legacy is massive. You couldn't have a lot of literature today without him. He invented so much. Yeah, he's a very, very prolific man.
So other than being prolific, what did he do that made his work so good?
He rejected normal horror. He created cosmic horror. So it's not just there's a monster coming down the street. It's the very air you breathe is poison.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. You are trapped in the cosmos. You're just a little tiny human being. Mm-hmm. And that's a terrifying notion. But what he did mostly was his work influenced today's artists.
Okay.
And that influence has changed literature.
Can you give an example?
Stephen King. Oh. Robert Bloch. Robert E. Howard, who wrote Conan. We just covered him. There's a very long list of people. You see him in Futurama. You see nods to him in the Skyrim games. You see nods to him everywhere.
Hmm. What's his most famous work?
Ooh, that'd be hard. Call of Cthulhu is the one that's... Cthulhu himself is the most famous, but his best work, in my opinion, if you want to get a flavor, is Shadow Over Innsmouth.
What's that about?
Yeah. That is about a young man... who's an antiquarian. He loves history, kind of like me. He hears about this old town and he visits it. And as he visits this town called Innsmouth that he's never heard of, he slowly begins to notice that something's off here. Something's off here. And all of a sudden, you know, no one's talking to him, no one's being friendly to him, and all of a sudden, things take a turn for the worse. I don't want to ruin the story for people. It's really good.
Okay. I know I've listened to a couple.
Yeah, I made her listen to The Curse of Yig.
Yeah,
which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and there's it's that kind of creepy, like you can't escape.
You can't escape it at all.
Yeah.
Which is death and life and all the little things.
Yeah.
You know what's more horrifying, nature itself, or a zombie?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And he almost makes nature a character.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. He really does.
Yeah. The whole time, well, I didn't read it. I was listening to it on that radio program, but what's going to happen next? What's going to happen? That kind of thing mm-hmm. that really grips you. And, yeah, they're good, but... Mm-hmm. I'm just not a big sci-fi person.
But he's more horror.
Usually, don't have happy endings.
Yeah, a lot of his characters get away, but they're forever scarred by the knowledge.
Yeah,
I think that comes from is he figured out his dad didn't have apoplexy one day, like on a subconscious level.
Yeah.
Because he would read books. He had 2,000 books.
Uh-huh.
And he would be starving. He wouldn't want to sell any.
Oh.
Or maybe it was 3,000. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
He loved books so much. I'm sure some he read in some medical text, something horrifying, and something clicked in the back of his mind. His father did not have... He had syphilis from cheating on his mother.
And didn't he, because he was so broke, he would, like, ride the train at night? Like, if he was traveling, he'd ride the train at night so he could... That was his hotel.
Yeah, he was so broke, he wouldn't book a hotel. He would just ride the train at night, which I've done and want to do. More of. So, riding a train at night is creepy, by the way. You get some unique characters on that.
And don't you sleep?
You can't sleep. That's when they come for you.
Oh, ew.
That's good mind. That's really good mind. He's a very, very interesting kid. It's difficult to condense him into just a few minutes of talking because he's such a character. But I will tell you a fun fact about him. One of his best friends who was gay was named Loveman. Loveman and Lovecraft. That's a pair right there.
That is a pair.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite quotes of him, though, is he obviously had depression his whole life. He was obviously a very unhappy person that comes up in his work. But one of the quotes, so a lot of his characters kill themselves when they've ruined something horrible. But in one of his best stories, I won't warn everyone, but he says, the main character says, "No, I will not kill myself. I cannot be made to kill myself." In essence, accepting the horror of life, the horror of reality, the pain and suffering that we all go through. You know, the main character finds this thing horrible and he just accepts it and lives a happy life because of it. And I think it is actually one of the best philosophy quotes in writing, in literature, because something horrible is happening to the main character, and he's realized something even worse. Instead of killing himself, he accepts it and he lives a happy life.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's good.
And it's very good. So, if you want to get a taste for Lovecraft, read Shadow over Innsmouth.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say. These are mostly short stories.
They're mostly short. Lovecraft, the Shadow of Innsmouth is basically a little novelette. It's a very small novel. The best, but if you don't have a lot of time, you can read Rats in the Walls, which scared me so much. I didn't read Lovecraft for a year.
The title alone, I don't think I could read it.
It's terrifying.
Oh, my God.
The Rats in the Walls. Another good one is...
I think all I need to read is the title.
The title?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. Another good one is The Whisperer in Darkness. That one's a good one. I'm trying to think of another one. Two Black Bottles, Call of Cthulhu. They're all quite good. The Haunter in the Dark.
Mm.
Maybe it's The Haunter in the Dark, The Haunter of the... That one is really good. I have rants about that story. It's so good. So I think that's all we've got for now.
So is it safe to say that he really did not experience much success while he was alive? It wasn't until he passed away that people discovered his work?
He had a bunch of fanboys who loved him.
Okay.
And he had good, close relationships with them. He didn't get a lot of success, no.
Mm-hmm.
He was relatively poor his whole life, which is, you know, not fun. The Shadow of Innsmouth was turned into a book, and 300 copies were bound. So he got to see that. He got to see a published book.
That had to have been cool.
That was nice, I'm sure. He really should have been acknowledged, but he's acknowledged now. In the 90s, when they made a bunch of video board games, Call of Cthulhu board games, which are very popular. There's a bunch of movies about him. There's even kids' movies, which is a weird choice. Yeah, there's little Lovecraft children's movies. I'm just like, why have you done this? What, do you not know what he was about? He was a stepfather, too. That would have been interesting to have him as your dad.
Yeah, definitely.
He was a very, very funny man, too. He was a character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't see that, like, when... From what I've heard about him and from what his work, I don't see a lot of humor in there.
He would talk about these old gods and outer one gods as if they like lived in his house and they were his friends in his letters. So he'd be very silly about that. Mm-hmm. Like Yog-Sothoth, who was this terrifying eldritch monster. He called him Yagi in letters to his friends. He was not, yeah. He strikes a lot of people as a sad and happy person, but he had his moments where he was a happy guy.
Well, good. And I'm glad he had some happiness.
He wrote, I think, over 10,000 letters or something ridiculous to all these correspondents he had.
Oh.
He was very, very rich in good friends, very rich in people who cared about him. Yeah, he should have. I wish he had a big family and lived happily ever after, but that's not what happened. And so I just have to accept it. Just like in the story I was talking about, and move on with my life.
That's right.
So I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I hope you get into Howard Phillips Lovecraft's work. And I hope you have a wonderful October.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
I'm going to.
I already made cookies.
You already
Halloween
made cookies.
Cookies
and I'm sticking plastic skulls in the yard and hiding them for...
Yeah, decorating.
I love decorating.
It's a blast.
Last year we made someone cry with the decorations.
Don't do that again.
That's not, no.
Making
little children cry is not a...
They're adorable, and their little costumes, and they're so excited getting there.
We're going to do a bit more cartoony, this theme, this year.
Yeah, go cartoony. I'm not creepy. For the little kids' sakes. For
the little kids' sakes.
Well, is that going to do it for us tonight?
That's going to do it for us tonight.
All right. Well, two things. You have an assignment, listeners. Go get Imagery Pinot Noir and go read some Lovecraft.
Go read some Lovecraft. And give us a buzz on Twitter.
A buzz.
Give us a buzz on Twitter.
That's all I got.
That's all I got, too. I hope you...
All right. Have a great week, and we will talk to you next time.
We'll talk to you. Happy Halloween.
For history. We wouldn't be here.
If it wasn't for history, we wouldn't be here.
Go history.
Go history. That's going to be our new catchphrase. Happy Halloween, listeners.